Okay. Thank you.
So what's in front of us then is the amendment, which, as I understand it, instead of having to opt in order to get a full package, you have to opt out to not get it. Is that correct, Mia? Yeah.
That is correct. Right. Just exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Can we take a stack?
Yes.
This is Joe.
Joe?
Summer.
Summer. Okay.
But,
Joe?
Mr. Chair?
Hi.
Yes?
Point of information from Alberto.
Yes?
I need a little straightening out here. We're going to be discussing right now this particular amendment. Am I correct?
Yes, correct.
What about other points that need to be looked at in this motion? Do we do it after the amendment,
yes,
voting and stacking and the voting on this amendment?
Yes.
Do we go to the rest of the,
yes,
motion? Okay,
yes,
thank you. That's what I needed to know.
Okay, Joe.
Actually, I'll pass. I do want to speak to the main motion, not to the amendment.
Okay. Summer?
Yes, I guess 2 points. I'm not sure under California law, I'd have to look at the Corporations Code, but because we are a membership organization with voting rights, that people can opt out. But I don't see how you could send them a voting package that doesn't have any information on the candidates and make that just an optional thing. I think they have to get everything unless they say, I don't want to participate. And I think this needs to be looked at in relationship to the applicable laws, because this is voting we're talking about here, and that's the kind of organization we are. So before we opt people in or out, I think we need to know what the law says on this, and I don't think it makes any sense to send out ballots with no information attached, and then people already don't know who anybody is. So that's what I have to say on it. So I support an opt-out more than an opt-in, if either one is even appropriate under California law. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to the amendment? Okay. Is there any objection to the amendment? Okay. Hearing none, the amendment's approved. What's
neither
in front of us now is the rest of the motion as amended. Anyone want to speak,
okay,
to that?
Yes, I would. This is Tracy.
Mr. Chair, we are at time. I move that we extend for, 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
My guess is
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes? All right.
Yes.
Is there any objection to that, sir?
Is there any objection? Yes, thank you. Hearing none, let's see. I heard Tracy. Anyone else want to speak? Okay, Tracy, go ahead.
Okay, 2 quick things. I'm sort of the maker of the motion, although it got somewhat commended, and I do want to say the motion was passed and initiated February 6th, so we are talking about it 2 months after the fact, and there were a number of ensuing conversations that followed, as people have pointed out. The opt-in, opt-out option, and this is probably bad wording on my part, and I apologize, was not meant to be clear. That was meant to be worked out with the LAS. I have no objection to Mia's amendment. In terms of what Summer is saying, I don't believe the California Corporation Code at all prevents candidate information being available online with a print backup if people are not willing to look at the candidate information online. Many nonprofit organizations have online collections entirely. So I can't imagine that there's a legal issue with allowing people to opt out. We send 45,000 ballots, candidate information package that we print and send at a cost of probably $20,000 or $25,000 that we probably don't need to spend. And I think that we need to look at the financial sustainability of the elections to the organization and take that seriously as well. It is something that we can do in a concrete way. Many people will be happy to look at online information, and we can save ourselves a whole bunch of money that we kind of need to save.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Richard.
Sorry, I heard Richard and someone else.
Campbell.
Jennifer.
Alex.
Jennifer.
Okay. Richard Campbell.
Summer.
Summer. Alex.
Alex.
Jennifer was in there somewhere. I don't know if it was before or after Alex.
It's okay. I'll go left.
Okay. And anybody else? Okay. Let's see. Richard.
saves money and trees.
Yes.
Okay. Campbell?
Yes. While a lot of people have developed computer literacy, I think that it's still essential that paper product be provided. I'm sorry that the trees have to be sacrificed, but I'm just involved in an election to the National Cooperative Board, and believe me, there's a lot of stuff that they send out. They allow voting online, but the information about the individual candidates for the board is still sent out to all of their members, and that's quite a load of members. So I think that in terms of Pacifica representing its supposed to represent in regard to fairness and inclusiveness, that we can't get around the paper just yet.
Summer.
Yeah, I mean, I love saving trees, and I'd be fine with something that says, you know, for more information, link to, or if you need to have it sent, call. But I tend to agree with Campbell. I mean, our demographics are older. That is our listening population, at least in Los Angeles. And I think we have a really hard time getting enough people to participate to reach quorum now. And I tend to feel that, you know, it's better to include the candidate information, even though it is a burdensome expense in order to, you know, help facilitate participation and voting on the part of the public. So, you know, I mean, I can see both sides of the argument, but I do think that we'll probably have a little more drop-off if we don't include any information about the candidate. So, oh, and there is one other thing I wanted to say. Because
point
about
of information.
Motion.
I'm sorry, Bill, what's your point?
Well, this was basically covered by the amendment that Mia had, I believe.
That's
Not
a point of information. That's a comment.
Well, okay, sorry. All right.
Okay.
Point of indignation.
Point of information, Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Yes. I'm wondering, we have a lot of organizations that are concerned about voting throughout this country, and wouldn't it be a good idea for someone who's maybe serving as an intern in a Pacifica station or something to explore the possibility of maybe getting some foundation support or organizational support for part of our election expense?
It might very well. That's really not also not a point of information. It's kind of a suggestion.
Thank you. Can I finish now?
Is there something you wanted to finish with?
Yeah, I did. Thank you. I guess one of them is a practical consideration. I'm not sure how people opt out. You know, how do we send out a mailing that says, and by the way, if you don't want the complete package, that is a logistical issue, opting out. You know, when do you do that in the voting process? So I'm just throwing that out there as an issue. The second thing that I wanted to say something about was the report on where we're at with resumes on hiring a national election supervisor. Not to beat, you know, the dead horse too much, but obviously I've been pretty displeased with the amount of effort it's taken on my part to get advertising for the General Manager Search Committee. And I just would like to know if somebody at the Elections Committee is double-checking and making sure that you're getting adequate advertising for an election supervisor, because in my experience, when only two people apply for a job, it's because it's not being widely advertised. So I just, you know, want to throw that out there. I hope that decent advertising is going into place for this job as well, because it's very important and obviously affects the elections for all of our stations. So it's not that we can't hire someone we've used before, because there are some very competent people, but if we are, in fact, advertising for the job, I hope we're advertising for it, and I really hope someone from that committee is double-checking on that. Thank you.
Okay, Alex.
Yes. I voted for this motion on the Elections Committee, but we also discussed the practical problems in implementing, particularly the opt-in, opt-out business. The only way that would be doable is if you had a separate class of membership when you actually sign up to be a member, that you say right there that you do not wish to receive material in printed form, but you will look at all the material electronically. Whether that's practical right now, I don't know, but that seems to be the only way this would ever work. So it's not really something that's going to be implemented anytime soon, in my opinion.
Okay, Jennifer.
Yeah, the opt-in, opt-out thing is interesting, and it would save Pacifica a lot of money. At WBAI, and I don't know whether this is the same at all stations, we do a lot of private mailings, different slates to private mailings on candidates, and there's a description of the candidates in the mailings. And, you know, private people pay for this, and it's expensive. And so a lot of people would think getting the packet from Pacifica is redundant and would probably opt out and save some money for the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make one?
I have a point of information for someone on the committee. Is it not practical to do the opt out online? So you just sort of check a box.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Bill.
Yes. Right. We really need to work it with the NES and on all these logistical details. I mean, we talked about a lot of possibilities: sending a postcard, having them call a phone number, or go to a website to indicate they want to, you know, opt out and. So there's lots of possibilities. We just need to work with the NES on the details.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to this motion? Okay. Hearing none. Is there
Mr.
any objection to this? I'm sorry?
This is Alberto.
Alberto, go ahead.
Just a quick comment. At KPFT, we now have and have been using for the last several fund drives the green pledges, where people call in, pledge, and say we do not want any paper to be mailed to us. And, of course, it's a credit card or a debit card type of pledge. Maybe that would be a possibility that as people are becoming pledging green, that also means that they will only get a ballot in the mail as a possibility of cutting down on the cutting of trees. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to this?
Yeah, George, this is Sean. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Sean.
Yeah, I think one of the best ideas, because everybody's always concerned about the digital divide and who's got a computer in that, is I guess we call them still 1-800 number, and we could easily, by people just pressing a button, do you want a paper ballot or do you want to go online for your information, press 1 or 2. That might be the most cheapest, effective way to save us a lot of money and allow anybody, whether they got a computer or not, to be involved in the elections in a cost-effective fashion. We are at time.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion as it's been amended?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I do. This is Campbell. I do have a concern that I heard a comment about private mailings that people are doing and that, you know, this can supplant a lot of that. I frankly think that the private mailings can tend to skew campaigns to where it's people who have money who are going to be successful. And I would just as soon like to see anything
Campbell,
that would allow just
this
the
is out
information
of order.
From
yeah,
the
your comments are out of order. We're out of time, which means we either have to extend time or go to a vote. And what I hear you saying is sort of making points about the proposal.
Motion to extend time.
Okay, is there a second?
Don't move.
Can we get 3 minutes on this?
Extend time for 3 minutes. Is there any objection to extending time for 3 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, there is.
Would
you take a roll call vote on that? It requires 2/3 to extend time.
That's okay.
Who objected?
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Somebody objected. Well, somebody. Well, I guess I should know. Who objected? Is there an objection to extending time?
It was only 3 minutes because we have other things to get to.
Yeah, please. Is there an objection to extending time?
I'm the one who said it, but please don't be so abrupt with me either.
I'm sorry.
We're trying
to figure out
what's
going on.
So,
extend time for how long? 3 minutes? You know what? 3 minutes.
Do you want to withdraw your objection, Nia? Nia? Do you want to withdraw your objection? I hear nothing. Richard, take the role.
Richard, I will do that. You just don't yell at me the next time.
I think she said no. Richard, would you take the role, please?
No, I think she said yes.
She said yes. She said yes, Mr. Chair.
She did say yes. Okay.
Yes.
So there's no objection to that, so we'll extend for 3 minutes.
And can I speak after Campbell, Mr. Summer, very briefly?
Can I speak? This is Alex. I made the motion.
See, Alex, you made the extension, so you get to speak. Campbell didn't indicate he wanted to be on the stack again, so...
Yeah, yes, I would.
You do. Okay, so Campbell and then Summer.
I have to...
I'm sorry, it's Alex's turn.
Alex,
go ahead.
The reason I wanted to discuss this a little bit more is nobody commented on the other part of this motion, which is to look up an RFP for a vendor contract to do the election, the 2012-2013 elections. I think it's I did vote for it, and I think it's a good idea, but I do think people should at least consider this part of the motion, and perhaps if somebody thinks it's appropriate, you might want to split this motion, split that part, divide that part from the main motion, and either recommend that be done or commit to it. We're talking about
RFP. Do you want to move to divide? Alex?
I'll move to divide.
Okay. Is there any objection to dividing the question? I would presume it would be at the ED is further instructed to work collaboratively with the electron. Yeah, okay. So
where's the
is there any objection to dividing the question in that way? They're really two separate issues. One is to go to a third-party vendor for the 2012-2013 elections, and the other has to do with what kind of ballots are we going to send out and opting out or not. So if there's no objection, we'll divide the question in that way.
I have a bit of information, George. This is Nia.
Yes?
What is Alex's point in dividing? I just don't see why we need to divide.
Well,
what's the point?
His point is it's two separate issues.
Is point of information
yes.
valid here? Because I think it relates to the dividing. This is Tracy. The wording of the motion, I'm pretty sure, is to have an RFP process for the 2012 election embarked upon in 2011. It doesn't indicate, it isn't a decision on the part of the foundation to necessarily accept a bid or necessarily decide to go with a contractor. That will be up to future boards. It's a recommendation for a conscientious RFP process to be undergone and for bids to be collected after a thorough review of the RFP. I just want to make that clear. It's a planning process. It's not a decision-making process. It's not up to us. We're not necessarily the PNB in 2011 or 2012.
Okay. Campbell.
Yes. I have concerns about the RFP process. The particular point, and I don't think that we really considered it too thoroughly, is in regards to what the potential impact can be on the nature of our elections. And if there, if we're going to be moving into a posture where it's the amount of money that you have to send your information out to a variety of voters, I think that's quite a problematic point to get to.
It's not out of order.
And this is something that can lead us in that direction, and I think we need to be very careful in that regard.
We're out of time.
Okay. Okay. Let's go to a vote on the first half of this, which had to do with, as amended, which was sending out packages which did not contain the full candidate description. So, the PNB directs the executive director to hire a national election supervisor as an independent contractor for the 2000. The ED has encouraged 2010 Pacific LSB elections. The ED has encouraged to interview any candidates with previous LS experience with the foundation election process for the 2010 election. The NES is strongly encouraged to explore using the station websites for the display of candidate information and to print and mail full packages with the booklet instead of just ballots with return envelopes to only those. Now, this is where Nia's amendment is, to only those voters who do not opt out. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have not opted out. That was my
last. Opted out. Okay.
Not opted
out. Okay. So, is there any objection to that?
I'm not.
Is there
clear.
Any objection to that?
I'm not clear on the meaning at this point. Could you repeat that, please?
The meaning, or you want me to read the whole thing again?
Campbell.
No.
Campbell, do you want me to read the whole thing again, or you just want me to say what it means?
If you could read it again, please.
PNB directs the executive director to hire a national election supervisor as an independent contractor for the 2010 Pacifica LSB elections. The ED is encouraged to interview any candidates with previous LES local elections through supervisor experience with the foundation election process. For the 2010 election, the NES is strongly encouraged to explore using the station websites for the display of candidate information and to print and mail full packages with the booklet instead of just ballots with the return envelopes to only those voters who do not opt out. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Do you object to
as
it was read?
Yes.
Okay. Richard, would you call the roll on that?
Okay. And I apologize for coughing. John O'Brien?
Yes.
Leslie Radford? Summer Reese?
Pass.
Rico Ross? Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Alberto Lorero?
Yes.
Richard Uzzell, yes. Mia Bediaco?
Yes.
Kathy Davis? Jennifer Jager?
Yes.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Alonzo Brown? Alonzo? Campbell Johnson?
No.
Kimmery Orendahl? Kimori? Kimmery? Marcel Reed?
No.
Jim Bennett?
Yes.
Fio Wangasa?
Yes.
Shiram Akira?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner? Andrea? Joe Wanzala?
Hello. Yes. I was muted. Sorry.
Okay. Yes. Joe Wanzala?
Yes.
Summer Pass?
I'm back, yes.
Two.
Okay, motion passes. The next is a vote on the second part of the motion. The ED is further instructed to work collaboratively, with the election committee to develop an RFP for a vendor contract that would be in effect for the 2012-2013 elections and would include research on online voting options for the foundations and or other measures to reduce costs by at least 25% while maintaining a transparent and secure process. The 2010 Elections Committee is charged with developing the RFP to a complete state so that in 2011, a thorough multi-bid competitive process can be engaged in and a contractor in place by no later than December 2011 for the ensuing two-year election cycle. Determination needs to be made, one, how to differentiate persons receiving full packages versus those with ballots and return envelopes, and two, extreme care needs to be used in determining how online voting options can be done in a fair and secure way. Is there any objection to that motion?
Point of information?
Yes.
No one's ever said what RFP is. Can someone clarify?
Request for proposal.
I'm sorry, what is it? Request for proposal.
Request for proposal.
You're asking people to bid on the job.
Gotcha. No, I got the bidding part. I just didn't know what that stood for.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any objection to this as I read it?
I have this, Ishia.
Yes.
I'm concerned. You know, the PMD is supposed to be is expressly prohibited from being involved in the electoral process, and I'm concerned about this notion of collaboration in the forming and shaping of the
Sophia?
RFP.
Yes? Sophia, you're out of order. You're discussing the motion, and we're out of time for that.
Yeah.
Oh, you asked me if I had an objection.
It's an objection to vote.
Okay.
This is
Tracy. I'd like to make the case this motion is not time sensitive. It could well be postponed until the next meeting. It does not require an immediate decision tonight.
Motion to table is in order at any time, including after you're ready to take a vote. Do you want to make a motion to table?
Second.
Yeah, I think I would.
Second. Okay. It's non-debatable. You can
table
bring it back
or postpone.
Table
or postpone.
Be sure Julie says table, and it's non-debatable, and you can bring it back off the table at the very next meeting.
I think that makes sense procedurally. I don't want to bog us down, and it doesn't need to be acted upon tonight.
Okay. So, is there any objection to the motion to table? Okay, hearing none, the motion is tabled. We can consider it at the next meeting, which I presume will be the April meeting. Okay. Finance Committee.
Point of information, we would consider the second part of
the second
what we
part
about
can come back. The first part was passed,
okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
The Finance Committee.
Yes. Hi. Okay, this is Summer. Yes. Okay, at our last what we've done the last two meetings is we were going over the quarterlies for each of the five signal areas and for the national office. And this last meeting we went over KPFA, KPFK, and WPFW. And we covered quite a bit on litigation costs with Ricardo in the executive session. I would like to give a short report on that when we go into executive session. There were no motions passed out of finance of any significance. We were really going through review process. LaVarne, we went over the in the previous meeting because we didn't give a report on the last PMB meeting. The timeline for the CFO to go ahead and begin working on the new budgets with the local treasurers, which we should be right at the beginning of that, basically. The deadline was March 31st to begin meeting or discussing with treasurers the priorities for the budgets. And that's what really we were doing, a lot of housekeeping, going over where we were at and who's paying central services and who's not and how far behind we are with the various billings. So... I can take some questions, or some of these things have to be going over in executive session, but yeah, please.
Good, Kim.
Hello?
Yes. The last budgets for the FY 2010, what action was taken by the PMB on those budgets?
What do you mean by what action was taken by the PNB on those budgets?
Were they approved or not?
Oh yes. Well, the budgets were all approved months ago.
But when were they
approved? Where before the current PNB was seated, I know we were behind schedule. I'd have to go further back. We were looking at quarterlies at the last two meetings to see where our budget versus actuals are. But the approval of the budgets, I mean, end of last year, I guess. We were over into the new budget year, but I would say December off of the top of my head.
Okay, a follow-up question. Was the WPFW budget approved by the LSB?
Are you talking about the PNB or the LSB?
I beg your pardon?
You said the LSB. I don't know if your budget was approved by the LSB. It was approved by the PNB.
Okay. There's a bylaws requirement that the budgets are approved by the LSB. Just thought I'd mention.
Well, that would have that should have been done before it ever came to the National Finance Committee. As I recall, there was a lot of difficulty with WPFW's budget. But, you know, this is going back about 5 months now. So, I mean, I'll be happy to, like, look into this further, but it isn't anything germane to the last two Finance Committee calls, you know.
The problem was with staff. Okay, that's all.
We're at time. Okay. The Governance Committee, Joe.
Barnes, I'm sorry. May I just say something?
Yes, go ahead, LaVarne.
The budget for PFW was done with the cooperation of across with the CFO's office and the sources that we have. So there was no problem. There were some issues in terms of the new template in terms of getting it done, but there was no problem with staff that I'm aware of.
Thank you, LaVarne.
Thank you.
Then that's I find that remarkable. Thank you.
The Governance Committee report.
This is Joe. On the Governance Committee, we passed two proposed bylaws amendments for the PNB to consider forwarding to the LSB for further consideration. I don't know if people want me to read them if they have them on the agenda already.
I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I'll just briefly say what they are, and I would recommend that, I mean, in the some time that we consider taking these up and discussing them some more at the LA meeting. The first bylaws amendment is with respect to Article 6, Section 4, and what it's trying to do is streamline the process for special meetings. As it is right now, the meetings are a little hamstrung by the special meeting requirement, which makes it, you know, whether the two-thirds requirement to add new items to the agenda. For example, for this meeting, the teleconference meeting, because it's a special meeting, as it is, you know, if an item wasn't noticed for the agenda 7 days in advance, then it needs two-thirds to answer it, to add it. This way, items, it makes the meetings more flexible. That's the intent of the amendment, because the way it's currently structured makes these teleconferences it makes it difficult to get to items because of the two-thirds requirement. So that's what it's trying to achieve. The other bylaws amendment has to do with the looking at the current requirement that delegates who are deemed run for public office have to resign their position as soon as they file their papers. What this bylaws amendment does, it says that if a delegate runs for office, they don't need to relinquish their seat on the board until they actually attain that public office. You know, and you know, obviously the bylaws are written with that requirement with certain ideas in mind, and I can see arguments on both sides. I don't know if there's anyone to get in charge of these things tonight. I recommend that we put these on the agenda for the April meeting in LA.
Are there any questions, Joe?
Yes, question.
Campbell?
Yes.
How do you define a political appointment?
Well, there's various state mayors or governors of states can appoint. There's various political offices which they're able to, they have the power to appoint people to, county commissions and that sort of thing. So, yeah, any sort of political appointment by that would be deemed a political office would fall under that category.
So is there an the operational definition then would be that any elected official who appointed someone to any board, it could be to the alcohol board or anything, that would constitute a political appointment.
Yes, as I understand it, yes.
Are we out of time?
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to extend for 5 minutes because, one, I believe we should probably take care of the first motion that passed 10-0 out of the committee and is a pretty common sense one. It would be nice if we didn't have to deal with that in our in-face meeting. And as for number two, well, we should extend time before I go into that. I apologize.
Is there a second to the – that was for 10 minutes, was it?
5 minutes.
Yeah.
You want five minutes, 10 minutes?
What did you want?
All right. Let's go with five. Okay.
Okay.
Is there any objection to extending time for 5 minutes to discuss the first of those items? Okay. Hearing none. Sean, did you want to speak to it?
Yeah. I just want to say that this first one is a real common sense thing that passed our committee 10-0 and would give every member on this board a little more leeway in getting anything important on the agenda. So I hope that we can pass this tonight. I don't think it should have to wait until we all get set there in face. We have many more important things to do. And I, just for the record, I think that the second one is another common sense approach. People shouldn't be penalized for merely running for office. I'm a person, a conscientious citizen who has run. And we also have many members on this board who have run as Green Party members that really don't have any chance of winning in their election because it's a Democrat-Republican duel. But they're going to lose their seat because they want to go out and get involved in the political process. I think that's highly unfair. And we should only put people off the board once they attain public office, whether it's by election or by appointment. Thank you.
Anybody else want to speak actually to the
Summer?
First Amendment? Yes, Summer, go ahead.
I guess this is just maybe a point of information. Does this flow both ways for people that are sitting on public boards already or publicly appointed offices who run for candidacy on one of our boards and they spend like a year and a half being an alternate before they ever get seated? Does this flow in both directions?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand the question.
We have people who run for the board, right, who are already publicly appointed people on various commissions and stuff. They may get elected to our board.
They can't run for the board.
No.
They can't run for the board. It's that simple.
They can't run for the board. So this only flows in one direction. Okay, thank you.
Bill. Anybody else?
Yes, Bill. Campbell.
This is Nia.
Okay, Campbell, then Nia.
Yes. You know, I think that we could really be shooting ourselves in the foot here, potentially, because when we just undergo anything in terms of a political appointment, I think that could be a problem. If there were to be a board of media inclusiveness and someone from one of our local station boards or the national board were to be appointed, so fortunate as to be appointed to this, I would hate to see this person to be kicked out just because of that appointment. I think that, you know, this is someone who could, in a positive way, influence the kinds of issues that we're trying to advance. And by having a etched in granite kind of rule of this sort, I think that, you know, until we define things more closely, this can be extremely problematic. If we were able to get somebody on FCC, boy, that would be great.
Point of order.
Let me say this.
Yes.
The bylaws as they stand prohibit people who've been given a political appointment from serving. So this doesn't change that. If you want to change that, you need to have another bylaws amendment. This merely says that you simply running for office does not disqualify you from being on the board. Are we out of time?
No, Sean for the shack.
Okay, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, and the problem that Campbell brings up is the one that exists right now. If somebody got appointed to the Washington, D.C. Media Board, they have to step down. There's no question about it under our current bylaws. So understand that this motion or this amendment at least fixes half that problem, okay? And but the problem you're bringing up is what exists today under the bylaws. And we are at time.
Nia was on the stack, I thought.
This is Nia George, and I was supposed to have gone after Campbell.
Right.
I'm sorry, you're right.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that I was getting in front of you.
And I wasn't looking at my stack. Nia, go ahead.
I was going to suggest, I mean, I agree with this, and I was going to suggest that maybe we should postpone this until the in-person meeting to give us more time and dedicate more time to discussing this, because it does need to be addressed.
Second. Yeah, Mr. Chair?
Point of information.
Yes, Richard.
Do we have to consider these together?
No.
Shouldn't we consider them separately?
We should, and let me say that the original extension of time was to consider the first one.
Right.
No one spoke to, except Sean did a bit. And all of the attention was devoted to the second one. I'm a little bit at a loss as to what to do here.
Mr. Chair, at least see if we can take a vote on the first one? It is pretty cut and dry and common sense.
Well,
maybe we can at least pass that.
Without objection, we could table the second.
Okay. So let me ask then, since that was how it was set up, is there any objection to taking to accepting the first bylaws amendment, which changes Article 6, Section 4?
I would like. This is Nia. I would like to object to the simple reason. I think it needs to be thought out more. So if I'm the only one, then Richard could just mark me as. As just voting no, because it's not for me. It needs to be thought out further.
I agree.
Can you reread the first motion before we vote on it, please?
Special meeting shall require 7 days advance notice. Any director may place an agenda item on the agenda if submitted to the PMB secretary 7 days in advance. Motions from committee will not be subject to this requirement. Any director may submit an agenda item after this time and prior to approval of the agenda with the consent of a majority of the directors present and voting. Notice of all special meetings shall be forwarded by email to all directors, placed on the Foundation's website and websites of all stations at the time they are scheduled. All meetings will be announced twice daily on all five stations for 3 days, every other day, before the day of the meeting. The last part is a change as well from the existing. Please let me finish. The last part is a change as well from the existing procedures, which require 5 days before the meeting, three times a day. Yes, Campbell.
Yes. The point of order is this. I'm accustomed in every other board that I participate on where the existing bylaws amendment or the existing bylaws statement would be noted, and then the changes would be identified. And, you know, we just have the proposed amendments, we don't have what it's being replaced, what it's replacing, or, you know, anything of that sort, which I think would be a very important and instructive thing to have. I know it makes the, you know, agenda longer, but I think that this is an important thing for directors to have in terms of making a vote on this. So I would suggest that I would affirm the tabling of both of these.
Mr. Chair, I object to that. Mr. Chair, every member should have a copy of the bylaws in front of them, okay? It's not a big deal. They can also go on their computers to the Pacifica Foundation and pull the bylaws right there. This is a straight-ahead, common-sense motion, and I call the question. Let's vote on it up or down.
The motion doesn't have to be called. It's already. We're out over time on it.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to go to a vote on the first part, Article 6, Section 4.
I think we had a motion to table.
No.
Well, we had a motion. Not on this one we didn't.
Postpone consideration.
On both of them.
No, we didn't. We had a motion to postpone on the second one. Do you want to make a motion to table on this one?
Yes.
No.
Objection.
Just a point of whatever George did.
Yes.
I'm the one who made it on both of them, because, you know, you could have different failures, and we could think. The other thing that I would like to add, but time has run out.
Okay.
On both of them.
We have a motion to table. It's not discussable. Is it? And the motion to table. We'll take the first one first. Nia, my understood was that you withdrew your motion to table and just simply registered, said you were going to register
right.
A no vote.
No, George.
So, but Campbell did make a motion to table. I gather Nia seconds it. Is there any objection to tabling this motion?
Yes.
Okay.
First,
so, Richard,
yes.
Please take a vote on the motion to table.
Point of information, sir.
Yes.
Quickly. Is this vote for the first or for
first.
Both?
The first.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, Bill Crozier.
Yes.
This is the motion to table.
Right.
The first one. Okay, Alberto Lorero.
I vote yes to table.
Richard Uzel, no. Nia Bediako.
Yes.
Kathy Davis, Jennifer Jaeger?
No.
Alex Steinberg?
No.
Alonzo Brown? Alonzo, are you there? I can hear you. I'm sorry, I was coughing. Campbell Johnson?
Yes.
Kimori Orndorff?
Yes.
Marcel Reed.
Yes.
Jim Bennett.
Yes.
Sophia Wangazi.
No.
Sharam Agmir.
No.
Tracy Rosenberg.
No.
Andrea Turner.
Yes.
Joe Anzala.
No.
Sean O'Brien.
No.
Leslie Radford. Summer Reed.
No.
Rico Ross. Eight-four. Nine against.
Okay, the motion table fails. Richard, would you take the vote on the motion itself? Now, let me be clear. By voting for this, this bylaws amendment will be put in before the LSBs for their approval. You have to get 3 out of 5LSBs to approve a bylaws amendment. It'll be packaged with whatever other bylaws amendments we have. The second one, perhaps, whatever else comes forward in the time between now and we actually set them out. So what you're voting for now is to continue that process, to send it forward to the LSBs. So, Richard, would you take the roll on that?
Point of information, sir?
Yes.
Quickly. To vote yes, that means to send it forward. To vote no was to kill it.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Point of information?
Yes.
When this is sent, so if it passes, when it's sent out, can we specifically say which sentences are going to be replaced and what's going to be, and what part of this is going to be added? Because
yes,
this is not just an addition to the current bylaw text. There's some replacement language, but it doesn't replace the whole section.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. On this vote, yes is affirmative and no is negative. Nia Bediako.
No.
Kathy Davis. Jennifer Jaeger.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Alonzo Brown.
Yes.
Was that yes, Alonzo? I'm assuming that's yes. Okay. Campbell Johnson.
No.
Kimori Orndorff.
Stay.
Marcel Reed.
No.
Jim Bennett.
No.
Bill Gaza.
Yes.
Shiram Akhmir.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
No.
Joe Gonzalez.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford. Summer Reese.
Yes.
Rico Ross. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Alberto Larrero.
No.
Richard Uzel, yes. Eleven, yes. Six no's and one abstained.
Okay. The motion passes. It will be forwarded into the process of getting bylaws amendments made.
A point of order, George. A point of order.
Yes.
In the bylaws says in Article 7, Section B1, it says it needs a majority of all members of the Pacifica National Board. 11 is not a majority of the Pacifica National Board.
What?
You may be right about that. I haven't looked. How many votes are for it?
11 for, 6 against, and 1
okay,
is.
Okay, I vote yes. That
that's for this. That's for this one. That's for this one. Okay, you're
yes.
Gonna make it.
I vote yes. It makes it 12.
Okay.
I don't think that's personally. I don't think that's.
Yeah. What was cite the article again? Because we'd like to look at.
You know, it's. I don't know.
In material. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether we need to take time on that because. It's a
moot
point.
Oh, not right now. I mean, for Jim.
I thought you could only vote if it was a tie.
It was a tie.
Yeah, that's right.
And he can vote for the majority.
That's a tie in that case.
Yes.
He broke it.
No, that wasn't a tie.
I'm sorry.
11-7
is
not a tie.
We're going to move on.
11-6 is
not a
tie.
The comment was that you needed 11. We needed more than 11. 11 was what was needed. That counts as a tie for this for these purposes.
No.
If there's a vote of 2/3 needed and it isn't quite 2/3, the chair gets to vote one way or the other.
Exactly.
George, a point of order. I
yes.
thought the chair. Who served? I don't know who said it. I thought the chair only voted to make or break a tie.
This is a tie.
This is the equivalent
if you are correct. If you're correct, it's a tie. I'm assuming you're correct.
No.
How could
11-6
be a tie? Because Tracy was a point of information. The Robert
Rules. I'm sorry, just a moment. I'm dealing with the point of order. Dealing with the point of order. I'm assuming you're correct. I didn't look that carefully. I don't know. But let's assume you're correct. More than 11 votes are needed. If there's 11 votes, the motion fails, right? 12 votes are needed. In that situation, the chair gets the vote.
That's right. The equivalent.
If it was 2/3 that were needed and you were one short, the chair gets the vote.
Okay. What part of Roberts Rules are you citing? Because I have my Roberts Rules here also.
I'm sorry. I'm making that ruling. I don't have Roberts Rules in front of me. If you want to look it up and object to it at the next meeting, you can do so.
I beg your pardon? The chair.
I don't have Roberts Rules in front of me. This is standard procedure in Roberts Rules. I gave you an example where when you vote, when you have a 2/3 vote and you don't quite have 2/3, the chair gets the vote. You can look that up in there.
Yeah. I believe the Roberts point of order is that the chair is entitled to vote when their vote materially changes the outcome.
That's correct.
That is,
thank you,
that is true in this case.
Okay.
What page is that on?
I'm sorry. We're going to go on to the next item, which is the motion to table on Article 4, Section 2A. Richard, would you take the roll on that? Now, this is the one that had to do with changing the bylaws so that if you simply run for election, you are not required to resign from the LSB. So, Richard, would you take the roll on tabling this, please?
Okay. Alonzo Brown.
Yes.
Campbell Johnston.
Yes.
Emery Orendorff.
Yes.
Marcel Reed. Marcel. Jim Bennett.
Yes.
I'm sorry, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Fio Wangaza.
Yes.
Sharam Akhmir.
Ben.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
Yes.
Joe Gonzalez.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien.
Abstain.
Leslie Radford. Summer Reese.
Yes.
Rico Ross. Bill Crozier.
No.
Alberto Lorero.
No.
Richard Giselle, no.
Mr. Secretary, I'd like to change my vote to a no. This is Sean.
Okay. Mia Bediaco.
This is to table, correct? I just want to make sure.
All right.
Correct.
Yes.
Matthew Davis. Jennifer Jager.
No.
Excuse me. Alex Steinberg.
No.
If I might, I want to make sure that I voted no.
This is a fee. Okay, you vote no?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Fia.
And this is Summer. I'd like to change my vote to an abstention.
Okay. Nine yes, seven no, and one abstention.
Okay, the motion passes the table. It can be brought off the table at the next meeting. The Affiliates Task Force, Afia, you're the convener for that.
Okay. We're in the Affiliates Task Force at this point I postponed the last meeting because of difficulties that have arisen in the task force in its effort to meet with the members of the task force or participants in the task force meetings, insisting that despite the fact that the task force is a PMB formation, is not subject to the rules or the bylaws, Robert's rules, or any of the other recognized governance vehicles that are commonly used in Pacifica and generally in the PMB particularly. And along that line, I have submitted a motion to the PMB asking that the task force be regularized and required to function like a standing committee with such modifications as may be necessary, and the governance committee taking the steps that are necessary to establish the procedure for the task force. Especially pointing out that it's subject to the bylaws, that it is also addresses the question of affiliate membership. In the founding of the task force, it was expressly the resolution provided for two LSB reps and one PMB rep to the task force, but was silent as to the affiliates. My proposal is that the governance committee address that silence and with maximal design to provide maximal inclusion and participation of the of affiliates, and it would also set voting eligibility as well as membership.